Chapter 7. There was no real way for Time to know how long she was out, what had been done to her, or where she was. But as she came to in the tiny, windowless room with the bunk, the commode and the little sink, she realised those questions might not get answered for a while, if indeed, ever. She was still wearing her clothes, at least. Other than whatever had knocked her out, which had left her stiff and sore all over, she seemed to be intact, and even had her wallet in her back pocket. The gadgets, unfortunately, were gone. And where was Dredge? She could only assume and hope he was in a little cell-like room of his own not that far away. Odd move, government goons, she was thinking. They hadn't seen a single no trespassing sign, much less a trace of some presumably huge installation. Yet here they were. No sooner had she gotten her bearings, sat up and subsequently risen from the cot, than the single metallic-looking door off to her right slid open and a trio of soldier-like people in unmarked and identical dark uniforms marched into the room. At least the one in the front wasn't frowning like the other two.
"Are you able to walk?" he said.
I think so, where..."
"Please come with us."
There wasn't much more to it than that. Nervously biting her lip as she was escorted down the long, featureless grey corridor by the slightly less grim lead... officer, was it? With the others at her back, Time tried a couple of little quips like, "Is my lawyer already here?" and "Wow, do your maintenance people ever keep this place spotless?" but got no response. When the long walk finally reached its end, she found herself breathing a sigh of relief. Surely there had to be someone to have an actual conversation with in the middle of this huge place. Left at a pair of sliding doors, she heard them click and roll and turned to see yet another sombre visage scrutinising her. Gathering she was supposed to go in, despite the wordless glare-adjacent look she was getting, she did so. "Sit down," the woman said. At least her escort had said please. There was only one chair positioned in front of the obviously high-ranking woman's broad desk, and there wasn't a heck of a lot else in the place in terms of furniture. Even the walls were sparsely adorned, with just a few pictures of various jet aircraft dotting them. Time didn't hear the door close behind her, but it had by the time she glanced around at it before taking a seat. Seconds ticked by slowly as the two stared at each other, with Time unsure what to say, and her host apparently in no hurry to say anything. Time cracked first. "I'm not a terrorist or a zealot or anything," she said. "I don't want anything to do with any of this. But then my car breaks down, and I'm walking by this old phone that shouldn't be working, but is. And I stupidly pick it up and say hi. And the voice on the other end of that long dead phone line says, 'Hi, I'm Albert Einstein, and tag, you're it. Go save the world from blowing up or whatever.' And he says morning glory or whatever. Is that where we are?" Silence. The woman looked quite inscrutable as she sat and listened. "Fine. You want to know why we ended up in the middle of what I guess was your territory, and that's it, believe it or not. You can torture us or whatever, but it won't change what happened." Still no response. "Did you want to ask me anything else? Because that's pretty much the gist of it."
"What led you here?"
"Huh?" A response from her presumed interrogator had seemed so long in coming that Time wasn't sure at first how to reply. "Oh," she said after a few seconds. "We just put together clues and ended up with that spot out there. I couldn't believe it worked out so well, or so fast either. But Dredge and I figured it out and, well, here we are, trying to save the world for Albert Edison."
"That's Einstein," her host said tiredly. "Hopefully you do know the difference."
"Yeah, Einstein," Time said. "Sorry, I just woke up. Albert just accidentally helped build the bomb. Edison was a real dick." That actually seemed to soften the woman's expression and tone, if only faintly. There was nothing resembling a smile going on with those motionless lips, but her shoulders settled just a touch, and her whole demeanour seemed a little less antagonistic as the interview went on.
"You gave me the Cliff Notes version of it," the mysterious official said. "I really need the blow-by-blow."
"Are you sure we have time? I mean... I got the impression that Mr. Einstein thought that whatever's going on
It's going to happen really soon. That's none of your business.
With all due respect, ma'am, if the world's going to blow up, I think it might be.
Time held her breath as she waited to see how that would go over.
I'm not a physicist, the woman said. I just work here. And what you have to show the physicists is what? An alleged call from an other side Einstein? A ghost? Carrying a vague warning that you have to convince us to stop something we're apparently about to do?
Those physicists are watching this interview right now, so we'll see what they have to say about it all.
So, you are about to do some huge scary experiment that might blow up the world?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Can you at least tell me who you are and who you're with?
Sure, if you never want to see daylight again.
You see, right now, you know what I look like, but that's it. Any more, my name, rank, etc., and you know too much. You see this uniform? You won't find one around here with any info on it. No tags.
How can you be sure there aren't any spies in here?
Internal identifiers. Except for detainees like you, the rest here have an implant that identifies and tracks us so that no one outside of our system can be here posing as one or more of us. And you, as a visitor, are tracked by the ankle bracelet you may not yet have even noticed.
Visitor? Nice way of putting it.
You wouldn't be walking in here conscious even if you'd found the front door. Your friend is so into conspiracies, you'd think he'd have known that. Maybe he did, but didn't want to scare you off. It's policy. Nobody comes in conscious.
That way, here remains a mysterious place in another dimension, and the world goes on without poking their collective noses where they don't belong.
This is another dimension?
Time said, her jaw sagging faintly.
Yeah, the woman said. It's the one where visitors from Earth don't understand metaphor.
Time didn't reply to the obvious insult.
Where's Dredge? She said instead.
He's here, the woman said. He threw his scientific mumbo-jumbo at me, his theories on how that call worked. He sure buys your story, but then again, I think he may be a little biased by this point.
So, the test you can't tell me about, Time said.
You're in charge of it?
The woman finally smiled just a little.
Not exactly, she said. Just a security drone by this place's standards. That's why our little chat is going straight to the scientists and higher-ups, to let them figure out if you and your boyfriend are up to something or just flat-out crazy.
He's not my boyfriend.
You sure about that?
Take me to him.
Ah, you see what I mean? And no, not now. For a while you go back in your little holding pen. But not before we discuss a couple more things.
She must have been holding them in the hand that had been out of sight behind her desk, because the woman lifted that arm without hesitation and tossed out the two special items that Time had gotten from Wilson Mandine.
As these rolled and slid, respectively, out onto the desktop in front of her host, Time felt she was about to swallow her tongue.
Yeah, the woman said, seeing the surprise. This is the part where we just may end up going from criminal trespass to treason, sabotage, espionage, and other edges that tend to be found on the way to a firing squad. So I really hope you have some great excuses to sell me.
One of the two devices that Will had given her looked like a fat flash drive with a shiny little grill at one end. The thing looked factory-made, sleek, smooth, and the couple of seams it featured were impressively thin. There wasn't a single identifying mark on it, not even a tiny stamped logo. The other looked like an electric shaver, a small one that wasn't half as pro-looking as the data stick thing. There were no smooth curves, although the thing tapered smoothly such that the front end was about twice as thick as the back. This gadget's seams were wider. The materials all looked borrowed, and there was an arrow on one side that pointed to the wide end. Like the lettering on the sheet message, the arrow was made of neatly shaped and trimmed pieces of duct tape. Bluffing seemed outrageously unlikely to work, so Time came clean.
Sorta. At first, anyway.
I'm not even sure what they do, she said, exhausting the words like she'd been holding them back, but her strength had failed.
They were supposed to help me get in here, but the guy who gave them to me didn't really explain what they were and how to use them that well.
The guy? Yeah, he overheard me at that diner when I was telling the waitress about the weird phone call, I guess. Said he worked for this place once and told us where it was. Gave me those. Said he'd made that one and stolen the other. I guess from here. Weird coincidence that he happened to be there. But what are the odds of my getting a phone call from a dead scientist as I'm walking by the shell of an old phone booth? The woman just scrutinised her. And since time figured she was being studied for evidence of telltale ticks by a pro, she decided to just keep talking to avoid such giveaway signs. Look, if you think about it, everything that's happened to me would break the bank in Vegas, right? Einstein's been gone for decades. He's apparently still out there, thinking somewhere in a realm we can't imagine, and somehow he knows, and cares, enough about what's happening right here in your bunker or whatever this is, to convince me to risk everything to get here and tell you not to do whatever you're about to do. He connects with the material world right after my car breaks down, and I end up with no phone service and on foot on a dust-covered back road, just in time to be part of that connection. So, what do you think they give in Reno on the chances of my walking past a disconnected phone at just the right time to end up, well, here? I don't want to be here. I'm not a crusader for disclosure. I'm not here out of curiosity run wild. I just don't want you to blow up the planet. Time and her interrogator had locked gazes across the table, with Time doing her very best not to blink too often, despite the dryness of her eyes. For the record, I'm against blowing up the planet, the woman said. But going on the advice of a young woman and her claim of a ghostly phone call, that's Vegas poison. Still, we'll just have to see what the real decision makers think, and that's where I can give you the actual odds. Look, can't you at least let us go? I mean, what are we going to do? Go out and rally the world to our cause in what Albert said was days at the most? If you're about to blow us up, I'd rather not spend whatever few hours we have left sitting in some grey-walled cell. Let us go and we're utterly harmless. I gave it my shot, and that's all I came to do, to follow through on what's got to be the deepest excursion into weirdness in human history. And trust me, it's really not. That wasn't her interrogator. Time hadn't even heard the door open, and the hall light that it permitted into the room wasn't strong enough to notice. So with what must have been some rather soft-soled shoes, the visitor had all but walked right up behind her. She twisted around in the chair. "Well, this is a surprise," Time heard the woman say, as she looked up at the newcomer and saw the near smile that formed on the seemingly uninvited guest's face. Not that it's you, I mean, just that you're doing it in person. She's telling the truth. Now, that is no surprise at all, the woman behind the desk said. Of course you buy it, Chicken Little.
That's Mr. Little. And yes, it's not a surprise. Einstein was concerned, and he said so repeatedly, that he figured out a way to contact us and warn us. Well, who else could do so? Okay, maybe Tesla, but he wisely avoided the people that Einstein ended up having to deal with. Either way, how on this fortunately still existing for the moment Earth can you dismiss someone with Miss Weather's background ending up here with that story?
Insanity? The woman said with a shrug that Time didn't quite see as she momentarily glanced that way. Too many sci-fi movies? Or maybe she's here on orders? Maybe even though she doesn't consciously know she's following. For all we know, she's a sleeper. Look at those things she was carrying.
Yeah, to get in here so I could warn you.
Calm down, the woman said. Asher, please, the newcomer said in a sedative tone. I'm just here to chat with her in person. You're not going to object to that, are you?
In person or privately? And by the way, thanks for blowing my anonymity.
Now, you know as well as I there's no real privacy here, and I'm fine with doing this with the rest observing electronically and you sitting right there. It's just that you don't have much in the way of spare furniture here that I might borrow, and I feel it would be imposing to sit on the corner of your desk.
It's past me now, Asher said. Have fun. Good luck convincing everyone else that the sky is falling even faster than you've been saying it's falling all along.